In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is there now.
Here we are in the middle of Lent, and I don't know about you, but I'm tired. And I was telling my wife last night that I feel a little flat, meaning that I'm just tired. I don't want to do anything. I don't know if you've gotten sick of the food yet that we have subjected ourselves to. Maybe after day three, I think it was day one where I said, I just don't want to eat this. It's easier to eat less when you don't want to eat anything that's in front of you. And then we continued on for 3 weeks until today. And the church, desiring to encourage us, desiring to strengthen us, places a cross in front of us. An instrument of torture. An instrument of death. And it places it right in front of you as a celebration and as a great feast. And it says in the Synaxarian, which is kind of an explanation of every day of the year, that this is done for our encouragement. So obviously there's a paradox there and a trick that's happening a little bit that only really, in reality, only Christians could understand. Because to the world and to the Romans, certainly the cross was an instrument of death. It was an instrument of torture. You weren't encouraged by crosses. If anything, you ran in fear, and you run in fear of suffering. But in the Christian faith, the cross isn't an end in itself. It's always that instrument that brings us to the resurrection. And it's interesting how this changes our entire view of reality. You see, in the world, and as much as we are worldly, maybe we behave this way too, but in the world, we do everything to avoid suffering. We do everything to avoid being uncomfortable. Whether we're talking about eating comfortable food, sleeping on comfortable beds, the avoidance of headaches, the avoidance of relationships that are problematic, the avoidance of our own inner emptiness and flatness. We don't like bad feelings. We don't like negative things that we have to live with. And the world offers us many things to distract us. Entertainment, education, endless debate and conversation, politics, and all of the earthly comforts that we can quite literally numb ourselves with and comfort ourselves with. Never mind if we even want to go further and take all the medicines and all the drugs that we can take to help us to feel numb, to numb out in avoidance for what is the normal pain of life. Because to be born in a fallen world is to have pain. It's to have suffering. It's to have that as part of your life. But what's unique about Christians and what's so interesting about what the cross does for us is that no longer is this suffering that the world so fears and so flees from. No longer are these problems something that are seen as somehow obstacles in our way of salvation or in our way towards a better comfort. Rather, the cross is actually seen as an encouragement. Which this means that when we suffer, and I want you to eventually, and maybe eventually I'll even translate this into my own spiritual life. What this means is that when you suffer, you're always aware that God loves you, that He has providential care for you, and that the cross is never the end of the story. That there is always the resurrection. St. Ephrem the Syrian, in one of his poetic ways, he says, the cross is the resurrection. So when Christians view the cross, it is not simply torture, death, and disfigurement. It is the path we take. It's the path we pick up. Pragmatically, in our daily lives, as we encounter sufferings, we see them often as sent by God, as things that are opportunities for our souls to be transformed, for us to become more Christ-like, for somehow these irritating, flavorless, empty times can do something to us and make us something more than what we are. So the cross isn't to be avoided. As the Synaxarian says, as we journey through a parched land of Lent, the cross is like a tree where we take all of our luggage and we go and we sit under its branches so that we can find shade. As we venerate the cross today, let's challenge ourselves to have the teaching of the cross sink deeply into our hearts. This idea that is presented in Christianity, that in order to live, I must die. That in order to live to Christ, I must die to myself. That every little bit of selfishness in me turns me away from God and turns me away from my neighbor. And that is only as that selfishness is poured out that I can actually have a heart open enough to receive new life. Because you know that as we head into Pascha, as we journey to the Holy Resurrection, the goal isn't merely to historically commemorate or remember all these various happenings. It's that we may have new life. To have new life welling up within inside us. To have new life coming out of us, radiating from us. But right now we're in the middle where we're asking and we're trying to fast. And we're focusing on the death. The death of selfishness through fasting. The death of selfishness through giving alms. The death of selfishness through prayer. But all with one goal, that we may lay hold of Christ, that we may lay hold of his resurrection, that we may be filled with something new, not something empty that we choose that helps us avoid pain, not all the various remedies that the world offers, but something new, something outside of time, something outside of creation. The power, the grace, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, which makes us radiate with joy, which transforms us, which heals us, and which ultimately takes all of the suffering that we experience and all the death, the daily small deaths that we have, and turns them into resurrection, salvation, and joy. So as we continue our journey, and as we worship or venerate the Holy Cross today and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, may he give us this transition in our brains and our hearts. May he give us the switch in our being so that we can become Christian. And rather than looking with the eyes of our flesh, which is so easily deceived, rather than relying simply on our feelings about we feel good or we feel bad, that we may press forward and gain the hope, and then finally that something within us would see that even though we're often faced with death and suffering, that God works all things to the good for those who love him, and that he can take our suffering and transform it into resurrection and into life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.